Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 52nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Don't Worry, Be Holy. I thought I'd have some fun with that title and play a special song at the end that's titled the same way. We're going to focus today on Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. You know, all of us worry, and we all worry more than we should, and worry is harmful. And quite frankly, it's a sin, and that's why we shouldn't do it. Listen to what Paul says to the Romans in chapter 14, the second part of verse 23. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and that includes worrying. And why is that? Because it's an insult to God our Father. So what can we do about it? In this message, we're going to learn how to get the upper hand on worry, because worry truly is worthless. So don't worry, be holy. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Jesus said, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. For is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And this is a great part here in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Wow. Those are powerful words from Jesus. Now remember, this was Jesus, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said this, not some pop psychologist. Now when Jesus said, take no thought, that Greek word there actually meant anxious or worrisome thought. Wow, we just have to get our minds around that. You know, think about it. Worry is a fact of life, and it's a serious problem that we all deal with. We all do. I mean, the ignorant worry about not knowing enough, whereas the educated, they worry about forgetting what they've already learned. And then the poor worry about not having enough, whereas the rich worry about losing everything they already have. You know, and the old worry about dying, and the young worry about an uncertain future and growing old. Wow, we're all worrying about something. And you know really what it boils down to? Human nature. Yet Jesus tells us not to worry. Three times in this passage I just read to you. He said it in verse 25, 31, and 34. You know, when you get down to it, worry is just another form of double-mindedness. Look what James said. Listen to this. If you have your Bibles, turn to it. But listen to what James said about the double-minded. In chapter 1, verse 8, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then over in chapter 4, verse 8, he said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So in truth, worry is a form of double-mindedness. And we see from these passages in the book of James that worry makes us unstable and sinners with impure hearts. Wow, did you ever think worry had that much impact in your spiritual life? Now, this isn't saying not to give care for the future. Jesus isn't against planning. He told his disciples to plan before they build a tower or before they go to war. Look over in Luke chapter 14, verses 28 and 31. So he's not against planning. Don't use this as an excuse not to plan, because those who fail to plan to fail. He's against foreboding, which is entertaining a sense of impending evil or misfortune. He doesn't want us to do that. So in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, which I just read to you, Jesus tells us not to worry. And then he tells us how to do it. And like I said, don't worry, be holy. And that's the purpose of this message. So why do we worry? What's the cause? Well, I'm going to list five things here that Jesus mentioned in those passages that cause us to worry. First, we all worry about finances one time or another in our life. In verse 24, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's the point. The truth is, we simply can't. It's impossible. And I know firsthand, you cannot serve God and mammon. And another name for mammon is the god of riches. And it's real. It's real. And if we tried to, what we're doing is making our money our God. And I was guilty of that for years. And another thing is food. In the second part of verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Jesus is saying here, it's foolish, because he feeds the birds, so don't you think he's going to feed you too? Think about it this way. What farmer wouldn't feed his chickens? And I said that because those of you that know me from the other show know that I have chickens. But get this. After the farmer tosses out that grain, what do the chickens have to do? They have to go out and scratch for it. And another thing we worry about is our fashion or our clothing. In the second part of 25, he says, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? So many people worry about what they're going to wear. You know, he said further on there in verses 28 through 30, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. So these flowers are just given this incredible beauty by God. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon, you know, the most wise man of all times, the man who built the temple, the son of King David, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of those. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye? O ye of little faith! So if God dresses up these flowers so beautifully that wither tomorrow, how much more is he going to do for us who he loves so much? And then we worry about fitness. In verse 27, Jesus said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, he's not talking about our height there. He's talking about the length of our life. Now, the point here isn't that we shouldn't take care of ourselves, but the point is we can't increase our lifespan 1 minute through worry. But we can through proper diet, exercise, lifestyle, and most importantly, mindset and spiritual direction. So the point here is worry's not going to do anything. So the Bible isn't against exercise, diet, nutrition. It's just against plain, senseless, and sinless worry. So don't worry. Be holy. And he also speaks out against worry about the future. In verse 34, he says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Wow. So just don't worry about tomorrow. Be holy. You know, most of us listening to this know the signs of the times, and these truly are the ends of the age. You know, from the strange weather we're seeing and the fish kills and the political and financial turmoil, we cover all this on Tribulation Now. All these crazy things, all these crazy signs in the heavens and on earth, they're signs of the times. They're signaling the signs of this age. And this is it, 4, 3, 2, 1, Jesus is coming. And he's coming back soon. But the point isn't to worry. The point is to prepare. Just plan properly for tomorrow. And understand that all these things can become objects of worry. And actually fall into one of two categories. But we should never worry about any of it. Well, first we can have these things that we can do something about. In that case, just do it. So then we also have these things that we can't do anything about, like the stock market crash that's going to come, World War III, or the asteroid that may crash into the earth. And so the key here is to just get right with the Lord. Get sin out of your lives. Practice righteousness. Repent. Trust and obey. There's no other way, friends. I'm telling you, there's no other way. So don't worry. Be holy. Jesus is coming. Praise Jesus. And the bottom line is, just don't worry about it. Don't worry about your finances, food, fashion, fitness, and the future. Just do what you can about it and let the rest go. Yet, sadly, we all worry about one or more of these things. Now, I'm just going to share a couple very quick statistics with you that was done by a researcher at a major university. You know, 40% of what we worry about never happens. 30% of what we worry about is in the past and can't be changed. Isn't that crazy? 12% of what we worry about is untrue criticism from others. Did you get that? It's untrue. So let it go. 10% of what we worry about concerns our health. And like I said earlier, it doesn't do a bit of good. But lifestyle changes do. So if you're worried about your health, get off your butts, change your attitude and diets and exercise. That works, whereas worry doesn't. And then when you get to the bottom of this all, there's only about 8%, less than one thing out of 10 that we all worry about, that we can do anything about and that are real problems that must be faced. So again, then, why worry? Just deal with them. So the truth is, most of us focus on worry, and it's worthless. And it's not worthy of our attention. Our attention should be on Jesus. Fix your sights on things above, not here below. Seek ye first the kingdom, remember? And worry will resolve itself. You know, I got to warn you about this. Worry has this sneaky way of capturing us. So we've seen how finances, food, fitness, fashion, and the future were all causes. Now let's look at the cost. What does worry cost us? First of all, it can lead us to evil. In Psalms chapter 37, verses 7 through 9, it's written, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself, in any wise do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." You know, worries never resolved a single problem, dried a tear, or lifted a burden. So if you're ticked off at somebody, if somebody's hurt you, get over it. Don't worry about it. Give it to the Lord. He's going to make it right in the fullness of time. The truth is, at the best, worry is useless, and at the worst, it's very harmful. And it can lead to physical problems. It's harmful physiologically. It does the same thing sand does. If you just opened up your oil cap and dumped a cup of sand in your engine, it'll wear you down. Just like that sand will destroy your engine. You know, worry's like a swarm of ants just picking away at a carcass. They'll clean it down to the bone better than a lion does. Proverbs 18:14 says, "A man's spirit can sustain his broken body, but when the spirit dies, what hope is left?" And you know, it's also harmful to others. Do you know any chronic worriers? You know, when they walk in the room, it's like the lights go out. And when they leave, the lights come back on. You know what I mean? You just don't like being around them. Then examine your hearts and see if you're a worrier. And consider the cost this is having on others. You know, people who are worriers ought to be pitied. They need our love and prayers. And they need to learn to stop worrying. And so do we. And most importantly, I'm just going to tell you this. Worrying is a wound to the heart of God. Matthew 6, verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you and me? Oh, ye of little faith." Did you get that? Ye of little faith. And remember what I call faith, saving faith. F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. Ye of little faith. That's what Jesus called us who worry. That's a very sobering thought, isn't it? Because in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him," without saving faith. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, you can say God is good, God is great, God is gracious. But if you're not willing to forsake all and trust him, then what you're really saying is, "I don't believe you, God. I'm paying you lip service." In Romans 8:28, Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." But when you don't trust God, when you worry, you're saying that scripture's not true. And that is what I call stinking thinking. And it's an insult in the face of God. Suppose you found your children crying in the corner when you came home from work. And you say, "Hey, what's wrong?" And they say, "Well, we're afraid the money's going to run out and we're going to lose the house and we'll have no food or clothes." How would that make you as their parent? How would that make you feel? You know, now, wouldn't that grieve your heart? Well, the truth is that maybe as humans, we're not going to be able to provide everything for our children alone, and we may need help one time or another. But when we do that, what are we telling the Most High God? What are we saying to God when we worry? "I don't trust you, Lord. You're not able to provide for my needs." So that's why Jesus said in verse 30, "O ye of little faith," and I'm going to add saving faith, F-A-I-T-H. It's an insult to God. We're saying we don't trust you, Lord. And then in verse 31, Jesus said, "So take no anxious thought." And then Jesus went on to say in Matthew 6:32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Now, in the biblical times, the Gentiles were the pagans. So what he's saying is, you're acting like a pagan. So in this message now, we've looked at the causes and the costs of worry. Now we're going to wrap up this message looking at the cure And just remember, worry is harmful and sinful. It's like faith turned inside out. But there's help, and there's help in God's word. There's a cure in God's word for worry. Remember, don't worry, be holy. First, we have what I call the fodder factor. In Matthew 6:32, second part of that verse, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." So we ought to see God as our Father. He's our heavenly Father. He wants us to call him Abba, Daddy. And we have that right. We have that privilege through the blood shed by Jesus Christ on the cross when we're born again and we do his will. We have that privilege to call him Father. And we're not going to have to worry then, because he will never be guilty of child neglect. In Psalm 27, verse 10, it's written, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." We think of our obligations to him, but we have to realize that he also has obligations to us, those of us who do his will, those of us who trust and obey. Remember, repent and trust, and then trust and obey, because there's no other way. Remember, God did not elect us. God did not create us. He did not redeem us to merely forsake us. He didn't. He has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it's written, "What shall ye say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So God sent Jesus to die for our sins. You know, this God is our Father. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 33, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them that falls to the ground? Does one of them fall to the ground without the Father knowing it? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. You are of more value than those sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And remember, you don't have to just verbally say, "I deny you, Father." You can deny him by your lifestyle. You call yourself a Christian, and then are you out there living a lifestyle like the pagans? If you do that, you're denying the Father. And if you deny the Father before men, Jesus is going to deny you before the Father. So if God even goes to the funeral of a little sparrow, don't you think he's going to take care of us who confess him before men? So stop worrying. Don't worry. Be holy. And put all your trust in him. That's what I call the Father factor. Just remember, he's your Father. And when you do his will, you're in the family. Jesus said that. He said, "When you do the will of the Father, I'll call you my brother, my sister, and my mother." He said it. Look over in Mark 3, verse 35. And then we have what I call the focus factor. You know, worry is a signal that we're not focusing on things above. We're not focusing on the Father. We're not fixing our sights on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Praise Jesus. Isn't that awesome? So you know, many have challenged God on this. Many have challenged God on this. My friend John did. He sought first the kingdom of God when he was looking for a job. And you know what? He has a great job now and a wonderful ministry. Praise Jesus. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, it's written, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye search for me with all your heart." So there's a prerequisite there. We have to seek him with all of our heart. You know, worry is a symptom, and it's telling you, you have things out of focus. Your focus is on food, finances, fashion, fitness, or your future rather than the Father. God the Father is saying, "You take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours." But sadly, people think if they put God first, other things in their life are going to slip away. No, that's stinking thinking. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. And you know, The sobering fact is, it's all going to slip away from us when we don't put God first. You know, we can die today before we ever see tomorrow. David said in Psalms 37, He said in Psalms 37, verse 25 and 26, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Praise Jesus. Isn't that powerful? So we have the Father factor and the focus factor, and we're going to end this message with what I call the future factor from Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow should take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. If you've ever been around churches long enough, you've heard this next point that I want to make to you, but you need to hear it again. God either causes or allows the events in our life. He allows the difficulty or evil in our lives. I know you've probably heard that again if you've hung around churches, and there's a reason. God allows these things, not the devil. He allows the devil to do them. Remember, God is in control. And some days, he sends out the sun, and other days, he sends rain. And the worst thing that could happen to sinful people like us is to never experience trouble. And why is that? Because we'd never seek God. That's the point. The amazing thing about trouble is that it's supposed to cause us to turn to him to get sufficient grace for today's problems. The truth is, he gives us the strength for today's problems, not tomorrow's. If we take things that belong tomorrow, not planning, mind you, don't get this wrong, you're supposed to plan for tomorrow, but don't take tomorrow's troubles and worry about them today. That's called borrowed trouble. And the interest on borrowed trouble is, it's outrageous, it's usury. So what are the high costs of borrowed trouble, as I'm calling it? First, it buries blessings. It pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. You know, we're caught up in the cares of tomorrow. When we're doing that, we can't see today's blessings. Worry takes the joy out of today, not the worry out of tomorrow. If we worry about things we ought not, we are blind to the blessings of today. You know, I remember this one loving couple. They were young and healthy, and they had this beautiful baby, and yet they were upset. And when I was talking to them, I said, why are you upset? They said, we don't have anything. No house, no car. We have poor jobs. We just don't know. We just don't know what we're going to do. But they realized, they didn't realize what they had. They were healthy. They were well built. They had a beautiful baby. They loved Jesus. They didn't see all that. They couldn't see it. They saw none of what they had. They focused on an uncertain future instead of focusing on the blessings they had today. What they needed was a change of focus. You know, remember, worry may produce the very trouble you're worried about today. Remember, it steals our strength. We're not given strength for tomorrow, but only today. Remember, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for today, for today. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25, it's written, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I love the words in this hymn, how it goes. God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways, all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trial, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Praise Jesus. Isn't that powerful? And there's two more stanzas to that hymn. Look it up on, just Google it. It's powerful. So worry saps our strength. It wastes our energy. It doesn't get us ready for tomorrow. It buries today's blessings. And never forget, the Lord knows what we can carry. He knows our frame. He built it. In Psalms 103, verse 14, he says, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows what we can bear. And just like a truck, he's not going to overload us. You know, I'm going to run out of time on this. Just pick up the final point, the final couple points in the archives. But you know, wrecks in life are due to overloading our life with worry. It overloads our frame. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for things of itself. So worry buries our blessings, it stills our strength, and finally, it produces problems. Look what Job said in chapter 3, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Look at it this way. Tomorrow has two handles on it, and you can grab either one of these handles. On one side, there's fear, and the other side, there's saving faith. And you can take hold of either one of these handles. Fear has torment, whereas faith produces hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, But when hopes are realized at last, there is life and joy. So what do? We must focus. We have to say to ourselves, I'm repenting and trusting Jesus. So God is my Father. I must not worry because I wound his heart when I do. Then seek ye first the kingdom of God with all your heart. Trust God to give you what you need. And leave the future in his hands after you have faithfully planned for it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So I'm going to end with a very simple prayer. I'm just going to say, Lord, teach us to do with these burdens in life what we ought to. Lay them before you. Teach us not to worry, but to be holy. So help us to believe that today is to be blessed. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. I love y'all, so don't worry. Be holy.
Yes, a lot going on today, but I'm not worried for y'all. No reason to worry. No reason to worry. Let's whistle about it. All right, we're going. There's a foolish game we play when we forget what Jesus said. Don't worry, just be holy. You know what happens? The devil comes, whispers in my ear. He brings me trouble and he makes me fear, but don't worry. There's no good. No, just be holy.
Just be holy, Dave. Yes. Just a moment.
Well, I'm late to work, my boss is nagging, and the tires are bald on my old station wagon, but I'm not going to worry.
Bummer, Dave.
Yeah, bummer. I'm going to be holy. The economy is not so great. I'll probably be working till I'm about 98, but I'm not worried.
Don't worry, Dave.
I like my job. No. Just be holy. Don't worry, be holy now. Ah, don't worry. Just be holy. Don't worry, fellas.
My Dunkin' Donuts coffee's gone. I dropped my wife's chocolate ice cream cone. Don't worry. Just be holy.
Well,
wrinkles on my face, my hair changing color. I've only got one friend, Blaine. It is my mother. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Just be holy. Just be holy.
What else?
Well, my family doctor, he says I'm overweight. Well, he took my food away, so I ate my plate. Don't worry, Dave.
Don't worry about it, man.
Just be holy.
Listen to this little story I got.
You got more?
Well, my neighbor's dog, he came in my yard.
Yeah.
He dug up some plants, then he left his calling card. Don't worry.
Shoo-wee.
Just be holy.
Let's sing a little more. Get my mind on it. Ah, fellas, don't worry. Just keep on being holy, guys. All you people out there, just don't worry. Don't worry now. Just pray to God, and you won't be worried anymore. Works every time.
Every time. Talk to me, man.
So don't fret, and don't you frown. Just stop and take a look around.
That's right.
And you won't be worried.
Don't worry.
Just be holy.
Good.
You know why?
Why?
My God knows everything you need. Just trust in him and mine, you'll be free.
Free.
Just don't worry.
Good.
Come on now. Yeah. Let's finish strong. Be holy.
Be holy.
You ready?
Yes. Here we go.
Come on now. If you're hurting, just read Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry about nothing. What you gonna wear? What you gonna eat? Just be holy.
So don't worry.
That's the best
be holy.